Good to see each of you this morning. It's good to be back here with you. It's been some time. I'm certainly thankful for the invitation. It's good to see Brother Virgil again and Proctor's. And haven't seen last time I saw Jonas. He was just a little bitty fella, and told him he's now almost an adult. And so it really makes me feel old. And it's good to see all these young children here. That's very encouraging, to say the least. I know there's a lot of churches that would certainly think that this would be a wonderful blessing, and it would to have this many young in any given church. And so it's just a beautiful place, a beautiful day, and certainly what makes it the most beautiful is certainly the presence of our Lord. That's what we're hoping for this morning. I want to ask, while I'm before you, that you continue to pray for me. I certainly feel like I am in need of your prayers. Certainly, as we, there's no shortage whatsoever of subjects to preach on God's Word. I mean, all the humans, and if you were to add them all together, they were to give each one of you all the sermons that you could possibly tell about or preach. And you added us all together, all the entire human family. There's no way that we'd be able to exhaust that which would need or could be said about our Savior. So, certainly we know that John told us in his writings that of all the books which could have been written were written, then certainly the world itself would not be large enough to contain them. And so you think about that. You've heard other good, fine preachers make the point that certainly there's no wasted space in this book. But I want to speak to you, the Lord being my helper this morning, on a subject that's been on my mind for some time, and it continues to be, and I hope that the Lord will add His blessings to it. I know most of you here, whenever I start talking about this, we'll find out. I'm laughing at the clock. We got one at the back of Augusta, old line too, and of course, this, y'all really meant it, didn't you? but my Augusta Old Line's back a little further and the clock's a little smaller, but I appreciate that one. I like that. That's good. But the Lord Jesus Christ over in the 13th chapter and 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus is speaking there, and He's talking to His disciples. As you know, He's in the 13th chapter, He's partaking of what we would call certainly the Lord's Supper and then the foot washing. And you realize that during this time that the Lord is with His disciples, He's longed to have that, eat that Passover, that last Passover with them. And He's there. And during this time, if you read all the Gospels, you'll find it's very interesting, and to say the least. You'll find that the disciples are there kind of, I won't say they're not arguing, but they're kind of what we might call jockeying for what they consider to be position in the kingdom. Who will be the greatest in the kingdom? You find that they are talking about that, and the Lord, of course, deals with that. And then you find also that Jesus brings a couple of messages to them that are very troubling to them. First, he tells them that one of them is going to betray Him. All right? One is going to betray Him. And it created such a, you can imagine what, here's these men, you know, that have walked with Him for some three and a half years. They've seen Him do countless miracles. They've seen him feed over 5,000 on one occasion, 4,000 on another. They've seen him raise the dead 3 different times. They've seen him make the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and he's made the lame to walk. He has made all kinds of miracles. He's taught them. He's been patient with them. They've learned and seen all these things, and yet, when he tells them that one of them is going to betray him, each one of them, starting with Peter, asks, "Is it I?"
Yep.
Now that ought to teach any of us here, any of us, that we are to put no confidence in the flesh. I mean, if those brethren had been with him 3.5 years, it would seem to me that they would have, if there had been any room whatsoever to have confidence that they would not do something, they would have had it. And yet it started, and you'll find that they all ask, "Is it I?"
Yeah.
And so this morning, you can imagine here that even my childhood friends, I think about my wife now. That would be a scenario where we've been married 32 years now, and we've seen some, we've seen some thick and we've seen some thin. It's just in the experience of life. But outside of that relationship there, somebody that I was with as much as the Lord was with these disciples, I don't know if I would have that many relationships in this life I've not been around my wife 3.5 years all day long. She's probably like, "Thank the Lord." But still, they were here. And they're told that one's going to betray.
Yeah.
They're sad. Mm-hmm. They're cast down.
Right.
Then another one tells another there that one of you is going to deny me. Okay, one's going to betray, one's going to deny. And then he tells them that he's going away. Now you're talking about the Lord. That's 3 major things that he's telling his disciples. And I want you to think about when he's telling this too.
Yeah.
If you told me that I only had till from here to Augusta, Georgia to live in this world, of course, I've got a cell phone. You reckon I'd be making some calls to some folks and some things I'd want to say? Do you think that the words that I would speak would be important? What would your last words be if you knew that this was your last day on the earth? If you knew that these that you were talking to were going to betray you and deny you, how would you be behaving towards them? I dare say none of us would be behaving like the Lord did. And so here, whenever we start this 14th chapter, our Lord is so wonderful. He is so loving. And He starts to lay out and to comfort their hearts. You know, I was thinking about coming down the road, what it would be like if Jesus was right there beside me. I mean, where I could reach out and touch Him. I mean, if I was like John here at this scene where I could actually rest my head on His breast. And to have His presence, I mean physically manifest with me. And then to be told that one of you is going to deny me,
yeah.
One of you is going to betray me, and I'm going away. And our loving Savior begins to take His little children there and build them up. Give them some instruction. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not... Now, if their heart wasn't troubled, there'd been no point for Jesus saying that, would there?
Yeah.
Their heart was troubled.
Sure. Amen.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, that's not exactly where I want to. I just want to start there this morning. Because in this conversation here, in this teaching, where he's teaching his disciples before he leaves, this is the last words he's going to say to them before he goes into that garden and comes out and he's taken into custody by the Roman soldiers. He tells them there of something that is occurred, that is going to occur. And our Savior, in His marvelous love, He tells us, and this is the joy that I want to try to convey to you this morning. I want to try to maybe bring our thoughts and our attention to this particular scene. But of course, the fact that He is telling them, I'm going away. He's telling them there, but He gives them a promise of something that you and I have access to this day. It's not only do we have access, it's a part of us. Each and every born again child of God. It's something that He's going to tell them about that we have. You say, well, Brother Hooper, what are you talking about? If you come on down to the 16th verse there in chapter 14, He tells them, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter. I love, you know, sometimes you read on through words. But it says He'll give you another comforter. He's been the comforter for 3.5 years. I mean, He's made the storms to cease. I mean, He's healed the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
He's raised the widow's son and Jairus' daughter and Lazarus from the dead.
Amen.
He has fed 5,000 hungry, 4,000 hungry, another. I told you, well, we've kind of said that already. But He says that there's going to be another comforter. And this other comforter, He will abide with you forever.
Yeah, amen.
Forever. That's today. Every last one of God's little children has the comforter that abides with you forever.
Amen.
Folks, I oftentimes say, Brother Hooper, what do you think the church really needs now? Well, I can think of a lot of things the church needs. But the most important thing, my beloved, whenever I start to read His Word and certainly the Lord Jesus Christ, His presence. But also, my beloved, we need the Spirit of God with us and the manifestation of it. We need to, in my humble opinion, we live in a day now, and I know that Jesus, whenever He was here, He taught His disciples. The first time He were ever referred to God as Father, the Lord Jesus Christ taught us to do that in what we call the disciples' prayer. We have been taught by Jesus Christ to call our Heavenly Father, God the Father, to call Him Father. And we pray to Him, our Father. which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Everyone here knows that prayer. And then the Lord Jesus Christ tells us also that whatsoever we should ask, that we'd ask in his name. So we pray to the Father and ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, my beloved, I want you to realize the third part of that Trinity, which is God himself, is this comforter that Jesus Christ has promised, another comforter that Jesus has promised to leave here with his disciples. And that comforter shall abide with you forever. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. The Spirit of God is in each and every one of God's little children. Now, oftentimes, the only problem is we have, that's in this old body of ours, this old flesh. And we can feed that flesh and we can feed that inward man. But a lot of times that flesh gets a lot fuller, gets fed a lot faster than we do the spirit of the inward man, correct? But I want you to think about this for a moment. The need for that, the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I think we have a tendency, since we're not praying, maybe we're not actively seeking the Spirit of the Lord. Certainly sometimes we have a tendency maybe to think of the Spirit of God as something outside. I know that you understand it and we read it. But sometimes we don't really take time to think about and meditate upon what a blessing our Savior was leaving us here. He's giving us another comforter. And yes, there's some of God's people that would believe that the Spirit or the Comforter didn't come into being until the day of Pentecost. I'm here to tell you, my beloved, that the Spirit of God has been there. He is God.
Amen.
You go over to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, and there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Those three. Now, I don't understand that. Don't come up to me and say, explain that to me. The Apostle Paul said, for great is the mystery of godliness.
Yeah.
Okay, he says, for without controversy. Here's something that's without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh. I don't understand how that the three can be one. Because in our math, it's 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. And certainly, God the Father is not a third, and Jesus Christ a third, and the Holy Ghost a third. And you say, was the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit one and the same? Yes, they are. They're one and the same. And yet, that's what Jesus Christ was promising here. You go back over to the New Testament, you'll find in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. You'll find a little further over, it says, let us make man in our own image. Who is he talking to? It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You may say, well, that doesn't say the Spirit, Son was there. You go to the Gospel of John, first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So I've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the very beginning. And those three are one. And anytime you find God moving, I can find in regeneration that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are involved.
Yeah.
Whenever we meet together, my beloved, it is my prayer, certainly, Jesus Christ tells His disciples there, to tells them to keep His commandments, and that the Father and the Son would come and abide with Him. Well, you notice He didn't say the Spirit would have come. You know why the Spirit's not coming? Because He's already here. He says the Spirit, the Comforter, will abide with you all forever. But there's things that we can do that the Father and the Son would come and abide with us as well. Who doesn't want that? Huh? You want it? I believe you do.
Yeah.
I believe you do.
But I started thinking about that, and you start looking at the Holy Spirit, and you say, well, was he in the Old Testament? Well, let's just go to a couple of places here. I've already been to one. Over, and I didn't go through and get all the places where the Spirit of the Lord was mentioned. I'll just, you know, I'll give you two. You say, why is that? Well, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I'm going to give you another one here. Over in Genesis chapter 41, you'll find there that Joseph, everybody knows about Joseph, how that he was in the prison, he's raised up, and he's made second in command only to Pharaoh. And then over in the 37th verse of the 41st chapter of Genesis, it says, and the thing, you know, this is when Joseph gives them the plan as far as putting back grain and storing that grain for the 7 years of plenty that are coming, and then to weather the 7 years of blasting that they are fixing to go through. But Joseph gives that plan, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Even Pharaoh recognized the Spirit of God was in Joseph.
Yeah. Amen.
All right? So you can go, we go back over and get some of the New Testament. Over in, I believe, 2 Peter chapter 1, you'll find that Peter there writes. He said, talking about no prophecy is of any private interpretation. He said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the what? The Holy Ghost. They were spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We find over here in the Acts of the Apostles, whenever you find here that over here it says in Acts chapter 1, you can start in verse 16. It says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. He's talking about there how that Judas was betrayed Christ. And certainly his life, he took his own life. And as a result, that place of apostleship was now vacant. And Peter's telling them here, he says, now, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas. The Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David. Folks say, oh, the Holy Spirit didn't really come into being until the day of Pentecost. Here, my beloved, David was moved by the Holy Ghost. Any prophet there in the Old Testament that wrote was moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And you could go right on through there. We'll go over here to, let's see, Psalm 139. Turn there quickly. David asked in verse 7. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Where can I go? I've got a question for you. If David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is asking a question of where do I go to flee from thy spirit? Where shall I go from thy spirit? From thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. You can go to the highest mountain. You can go to the lowest parts of the depths of the sea. Whither shall I go from thy presence, from thy spirit? See, the Spirit of God was even there then. Because why? Because He's God. He's God. Do you realize that whenever we meet together, see, and this wasn't just a one-time promise. Here he says, I'll give you another comforter in John chapter 14, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now listen to this. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You say, well, Brother Hooven, that was to those disciples. Let me ask you something. Have you, in your own experience, had times when you felt like Jesus came to you? When His Spirit was there? You've had church, and I know you've had powerful preaching here. You've had services here when you felt the Spirit of God was here with you. Well, Jesus Christ also told us, He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Yeah. Praise God.
Do you know what that? I know I love going to Augusta Old Line. There was not a part of me that dreaded coming here today. A month and a half ago, I was in Parkview, up in North Carolina, there at the church my dad serves. Enjoyed being with them. I've been in those little churches down there around Lots Creek and the other places in Georgia, South Georgia, and it's just a little handful, and I've enjoyed being there. But the one I want to see most of all, and to be in the presence most of all, is the Lord.
Yeah.
And then that Spirit, the Spirit of God that's in me, and then the Spirit of God that's in you. Jesus didn't have to leave us anything. He didn't have to send another comforter. He didn't have to give us something that we could cling to whenever this life... Anybody here think this life's easy? Huh? If you are... Now, you young folks, I want you children, y'all can raise y'all's hand. Because at this point, you got mom and dad that's doing all the decision making and providing. But for us that are adults, it gets a lot more difficult along the way, doesn't it? You get those phone calls like I got probably about 3 years ago on Christmas Day from a brother that was telling me that they found a mass above his heart. Okay. Or another Christmas morning several years ago where a brother, a member there at Augusta Old Line, got a call from his wife. He'd passed away Christmas Day. And yet I cling to the promise that Jesus Christ has given us that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And He's given us a comforter that will abide with you forever. Oh, I love singing. You know, everything we do, it has to be done through the Spirit of God that's in us. You ever prayed and you didn't feel like it got anywhere? You ever prayed sometimes and you felt like your prayer didn't get out of the ceiling that you're, or where it is that you're praying? You might be in your car riding down the road and somehow or another it just doesn't feel like it goes anywhere? Our prayers, my beloved, we need to. We want to sing, certainly in the Spirit. We want to preach in the Spirit. We want to pray in the Spirit. We want to hear and rejoice in the Spirit.
Amen.
We must have Him. It's not a matter of we might need Him. We must have Him. You say, well, Brother Hooven, you believe it's a He? The Lord Jesus Christ in the 14th chapter of John calls Him a He. He says it's something that's a personalized. It's as if though, and He is personalized. We think sometimes, or other, because we talk about the Spirit of God, that it's some kind of nebulous, strange. No, sir, my beloved, Jesus Christ said it's a He.
Amen.
And over in the Acts of the Apostles there, whenever the Ananias and Sapphias, whenever they lied to the Holy Ghost, well, the accusation was, or the charge was, that they actually lied to the Holy Ghost. That's a personalized entity. He's God, is what He is. And you talking about powerful? He is God. He is as powerful as God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He is God. Now, I said what we need, certainly. And this is true. You think about, I said about going down the road and your prayers feel like they don't get out of the vehicle. Over in the 8th chapter of Romans. Everybody knows where the 8th chapter of Romans is. I bet you could drop your Bible. If you're like most old Baptists, you could drop that Bible and it'd probably open up right there, wouldn't it? Huh? And we can go, we can start there in verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also. You know, I've read that. I can't tell you the number of times I've read that. The Spirit also. Well, whenever we say also, we all usually intend, whenever we say also, there's someone else or something else going with us, isn't it?
Yeah.
If I say I'm going to go down here and eat lunch also, I'm assuming y'all are going to be there and you're going to allow me to eat with you.
Yeah.
The Spirit also maketh intercession, or helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So those times that you think your little prayers didn't get out anywhere, to be blessed. And I tell you, let me ask you something. Have you ever been at the throne of grace when you felt like you could just reach out there and touch the Lord? Huh? I mean, the kind of prayer that just opens up the eye faucets, and it's like your heart is about to explode. It's just like it's joy, or it may be the sorrow that it is, whatever the case may be, and you feel the nearness and closeness of God with you. See, you go down to the 34th verse, but see, here's what I know. Here in the 34th verse of the same chapter, 8th chapter of Romans, well, you go to the 33rd verse. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. We all know that. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Listen to this. Who also maketh intercession for us. See, Jesus Christ is our high priest.
Yes.
Seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Who also maketh intercession for us. But he's making intercession, and there's also God the Spirit that makes intercession for us.
Yeah.
You see, oftentimes we talk of Jesus interceding for us, do we not?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of times we don't think about the Spirit of God making intercession for us. You say, Brother Hooven, why are you preaching this? Because there's not a lot of preaching on the Spirit of God. There's just not. And so I'm pleading guilty to it. And it's not a matter of me taking that which belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Spirit do? What does His mean? He's the Comforter, but you know what He's constantly doing? He's teaching us about Jesus. He's talking of the goodness of Jesus. He's giving us instruction and teaching us about what Jesus Christ has done. Your understanding that God has given you, if you have an understanding of what Jesus Christ and the amazing grace of God is, you've got it from the Spirit of God. How about the new birth? Jesus Christ Himself teaching over the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Every one of you here has quoted it 1,000 times probably. You're going to hear it 1,001 today. Huh? When Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Amen.
Huh? The Spirit of God, He's there in your new birth. He's there in the creation of the world. He's there whenever we meet together. He's there whenever we pray. He's there whenever we're reading His Word and to open it to give us understanding. Our interactions, my beloved, is with the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they do indeed intercede for us.
Yeah.
What a comforter. A comforter. Oh, that's another personal term. He didn't say, I'll send you comfort. He said, I'll send you the comforter.
Yeah.
There's a difference between a comforter and comfort.
Yeah.
I normally receive comfort from the comforter. Is that not right?
Amen.
He sent a comforter. And He's in you and shall abide with you forever. What Jesus, as if it wasn't enough that He came into this world, laid aside His glory, and came into this world. Oh, talking about something else the Holy Ghost is involved in. How about that which was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary? Huh? How was it done? It was done. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee.
Yeah.
And that which is conceived in thee shall be called the Son of God. Who did that work? The Holy Ghost. Huh? Created and did that work with the Virgin Mary in her and brought forth a body for the eternal Son of God. Had this little thought and I'll share it with you because it's too good to pass up. Talking about the presence of God. Presence of the Spirit. Huh? You remember whenever Mary went to see Elizabeth? that she, Elizabeth, heard the salutation of Mary. And when she did, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the babe leaped for joy in his mother's womb. The Bible says that at the salutation of Mary. But you know what, my beloved? There was nothing about Mary that caused John the Baptist to rejoice. Now, I've read that 1,000 times and thought, you know, and I've even preached it before, you know, just kind of passed on through it, that the salutation of Mary, that's not what caused John to leap for joy. What caused John to leap for joy is that his Savior was right there with him. That was his joy. Mary's voice couldn't do anything for John the Baptist, or you or I. But that which was being was conceived in her was the Most High God. It's like putting the expanse of the universe in something that could not even be seen with a naked eye, and yet the Holy Ghost filled John with joy in his mother's womb, and he leapt for joy because he was in the presence of his King and his Lord. So you see the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost there. You see it in your new birth. You see it in making intercession for us. Huh? It's amazing what we begin to see when we notice it. Oftentimes we just read right past it. Do we not? I've not even said a word about the day of Pentecost. When it was the Comforter with the Spirit of God was poured out in an abundance on the day of Pentecost, would we not? But it didn't just come into being at the day of Pentecost. It was just manifested as it was prophesied by the Lord here, that he said the Comforter would come. And he told them to wait and tarry at Jerusalem till they should be endued with what? Power from on high. They were. I'll go one more place here. We'll go to 1 Corinthians. Let's see here. Go over here to 1 Corinthians. If you have any understanding, which I trust you do, you're here. I know you're not here because of some other show or some other vain thing in this world. You're here because there's been a work of grace done in your heart. You've been born again of the Spirit of God. And you've been given an understanding. But I want you to notice this here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. The eye has not seen it, nor the ear heard it. Neither one of those, the eyes or the ears, have entered in or placed into the heart. Neither eye has seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit.
For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And it just continues on right there. For what knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You know something about the things of God is because of the Spirit of God. If you want to know more about God, then you're going to get it from the Spirit of God. You want to have more preaching? Then you're going to get it just the same way as any all the other saints are going to get it. They're going to get it from the Spirit of God. See, God the Father chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ agreed in that covenant to come and to bleed and to die to redeem us from our sins. But none of that would have been any effect to us whatsoever had the Spirit of God not done His work in your and my heart.
Amen.
Okay. So my beloved, when Jesus said He's going to send the Comforter, what a comfort that has been. He owed us nothing. I mean, the whole work of salvation by the sovereign grace of God alone. Humans could not have conceived such a way. Nor could they have ever brought it to pass. But thanks be unto God for His amazing love. Thanks be unto Jesus for His amazing love and obedience to the Father and His love for us. And the Holy Spirit. You want to say, how much did the Holy Spirit love you? He loves us just as much as God the Father. And just as much as Jesus Christ. And you have this within you. You have the Spirit of God within you. Our bodies are they not the temple of God? Huh? And the Spirit of God dwelleth within you. Let us rejoice and thank God for that. Let us be mindful of that. See, whenever I see you, you see me. I know you see an old carcass. But if God would grant us the grace to where we could see Him in each of us, what a sweet day that is to get together and rejoice. So may God bless you and keep you is my prayer. I know I didn't over-preach it. I just wished it. You know, it's like anything else a man does. Always wishes that he could do it better. But what I lacked in maybe skill and ability and knowledge, may the Spirit of God grant you His presence. Maybe give you the leading of His Spirit to let you study and meditate and rejoice in that wonderful truth. Jesus gave us another comforter. What a wonderful Savior we have. And what a wonderful comforter we have. May God bless you and keep you, my prayer.